You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
I've heard it said that we should be kind to everyone we meet because everyone, no exception, is fighting a battle, is struggling with something. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In this study, we're going to receive a very kind word from Dr. McGee. He reminds us that God is the great comforter. Psalm 34:18 tells us that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So I would encourage you, as I do myself, to come to our study in God's Word with a contrite spirit, with a humility that says, I need you, God, and with the expectation that God promises to be near and comfort us in our battles. Our text in Isaiah 40 pictures God as a shepherd who carries us in his arms, close to his heart. What a tender picture of a God who will never stop loving us. Now, if you don't already have a relationship with God, stop what you're doing and visit our website at ttb.org and search for How Can I Know God? There you're going to find several free downloadable resources that we've set aside just for people like yourself. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll send you a few of these resources by mail. Let's pray together as we open God's Word. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd, willing and able to carry us when we're broken and weak. We come to our study with expectation that you're going to lead us in how we should follow you. So thank you for the healing that your grace and mercy brings. In Jesus' very precious name we pray. Amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee as we walk through Isaiah 40 on Through the Bible.
Friends, we have now come to the last major division in the book of Isaiah. And if you have your Bible and will turn with us to the 40th chapter, we'll put in there. And we begin now this last major section, and the contrast between the first and the last here. In the first 35 chapters, we had a revelation of the sovereign on the throne. Now we have a revelation of the Savior in the place of suffering. We saw the crown in chapter 6, and in this section, in chapter 53, we'll see the cross. The first section was the government of God, and this section is actually the grace of God. And this section here, I do want to say, is a very, very important section, and you shouldn't consider the first section without this last section. Now, we have in chapter 40 a message of comfort from God, the Creator, the Savior, and the Sustainer. Now, the message is changed, but not the messenger. And, of course, here is where the higher critics came along, and they said, well, that the subject is so entirely different that we must have two Isaiahs. Well, why not have two subjects? Are a message changed rather than having to change the messenger and have two Isaiahs? And actually, of course, that is what it is. I could give a very, I think, simple illustration. It has been my custom to write on the different books of the Bible and different subjects in these books. I have, for instance, a little book on the second Psalm. What is this world coming to? Judgment, of course. And then I have a message on the 22nd Psalm, and that's the X-ray of the cross. Now, the subjects are altogether different, and it has prompted one or two folk that have written to me and one or two of my friends that have said to me, how in the world could you write on one subject and then turn around and write on that which is almost contrary to it? It's the opposite. Well, may I say to you, Psalm 2 and Psalm 22 are entirely two different subjects, but written, by the way, by the same individual. And that is not something that's unusual. And that's what we have here in this particular section. Now, we come to this in this section here, and I probably should call attention to it. at the very outset, and that is that though the message is one of comfort, not judgment, we are going to see in this section God is revealed as creator and a savior and a sustainer. And he'll not be the great unknown to his people. He'll be a very personal God, very much of a reality. And you will find running through this section a polemic against idolatry. And very frankly, it becomes very sarcastic in places. Isaiah, he flourishes a mean pen at times as he makes his attack upon idols, because that was the great sin of Israel. You see, when God called Abraham, he called him out of a home of idolatry to serve the living and true God. And from Abraham, a nation that was to witness to the unity of the Godhead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Jehovah, your Elohim, Jehovah, your plural God, is one Jehovah. That was their message to the world in that day. Now, the church, of course, in the midst of atheism, not polytheism, is to witness to the Trinity today. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We are to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit when he's taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us. Now let's begin this section. And there's a new note now. The thunders and lightnings of Sinai are subdued. They're smothered now by the wonderful message of grace that comes from God. Will you listen to it? Verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. This is no longer now woe unto somebody. We had six woes in the last section. That is the first section of the book. And there were about a dozen burdens. That's all been lifted now, because we are going to see a burden bearer here, one who later on will fulfill everything that Isaiah said about him, and he will be the one that will give an invitation, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you. He lifts the burden, and we have here now this comfort. Comfort ye, and that's a sigh of yearning that comes from the pulsating heart of our God. And he's a God of all comfort. Remember, that's the way that Paul speaks of him in 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, is called the Comforter. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And he is today a Comforter that's in the world. Now in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, it's been suggested that when there was an indebtedness or mortgage on a house in Israel, that the fact was written on a paper, that is, a legal document, just as we'd have today when a mortgage is made. Now, in that day, the mortgage was put on one of the doorposts so that, I guess, all your neighbors, all your friends would know that you got a mortgage on your place. Now, when that mortgage was paid off, then the second copy of it, the carbon copy of it, was taken and put on the other doorpost. Now, that's a sign that it's been paid. Now, that's what he says here. This was what it meant to receive double. They've been pardoned. It's been paid. The Lord Jesus has paid the debt. Now, that's the difference, actually, between the dealings of God with his people and with us today that actually separates Christianity from all pagan religions and the Old Testament, even under law, altogether different. And it's all wrapped up in that little word, propitiation. Now, the heathen and all their religions, they bring an offering to God to appease him. And that's what propitiation means. Great many people think that's what it means in the Bible, that it means you got to do something that God is angry. You got to do something to win him over. And the heathen are always doing that. Their gods are always angry. They're difficult to get along with, and their feelings are hurt, and they're not very friendly. But the thing is that the sin of man has alienated man from God. But you see, it's God who did something. And today, God is propitious. You don't have to do anything to win him over. And propitiation is toward God, and reconciliation is toward us. God has done everything that needs to be done. And today, we're asked to be reconciled to God, not to bring something to win him over. God's already won over. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, that's the word of comfort. And that's the word of comfort that's gone out today to a lost world. Now, look at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, all four of the gospel writers quote this verse as applying to John the Baptist. And since it's in there four times, I'm not even prepared to argue about it this morning. I say this refers to John the Baptist. Now, we are told in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, Luke quotes this also as applying to John the Baptist. Now, we are told in verse 7 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. Now we come here to where man is compared to the grass of the field. And the question is, where can there be comfort in this? To be reminded that today you and I, just like grass that's out yonder growing, and here in California in the spring after the rains, my, how beautiful a hillside looks. And it's not many days, the sun coming down, that it begins to wither and die. Man is just like that. And this is not comfort, you say. Yes, it is. You see, man is faint and frail and feeble. But the Word of God is what's strong and sure and secure. And that's our hiding place. That's our foundation that we rest on. That's our sword and our buckler. That's our high tower. That's our protection. That's our security. That's our salvation. Listen to what Simon Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, it's only the gospel that gives eternal life to man who very naturally is just a transitory creature on this earth. That's all in the world that he is. Now, the wonderful message is contained here in verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's what the message was. John the Baptist was introducing him, you see. And the good tidings, of course, is the gospel. What is it? Behold your God. And my friend, until you see that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, you haven't seen anything yet. And until you come to him, not just as a man, but come to him as a God, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of that, his name's Jesus. That's his human name. And if he's just a human, he's not my Savior. But since he's Emmanuel, he is Jesus. He is my Savior. How wonderful this is. Now, Isaiah, as he generally does, draws together the first and second coming of Christ. Verse 10, the second coming. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This looks forward to the second advent. Actually, the gospel includes both the comings of Christ. And the wonderful thing is that today we are apt to get sidetracked and put all the emphasis on either the first coming or the second coming. Let's put it on both comings. That's the totality of the gospel. Now, when we come to verse 12, we've come to creation, a revelation of God. Now, this speaks of the greatness of God. Listen to verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Now, who's done that today? And to begin with, when you get out in space, it won't weigh anything. So who's doing the weighing today, and where are you going to weigh it? This verse is a verse that I always feel like singing, how great thou art. But don't worry, I won't be singing it. I can't sing. But how great thou art goes with this. And we have in verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him. You know, God knows no equal, nor is there anyone to whom he can go to for advice, and there's no one you can compare him with. Someone has asked the rather facetious question, what is it that you have seen that God has never seen? Well, it's very simple. It's his equal. God's never seen his equal. I see mine every day. Now, will you notice verse 18? To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Well, the fact of the matter is, you and I know very little, even with the Word of God. All we can know is what's revealed. And I don't think God's told us everything. To begin with, we can't even comprehend what he has told us. Now, here you have the fact that he's comparing, or I should say, contrasting God to idols. Who are you going to liken him to? To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And look around you at the pictures today. I personally don't care for pictures of Jesus because they're not pictures of Jesus. And now I don't become very popular when I say that. I find out gospel bookstores that sell these pictures in other places and other people that are rather sentimental about it, they think I'm very terrible. But my friend, we don't need the pictures of him at all. As old Scotch philosopher years ago said, men never even think of painting the picture of Jesus till they lose the presence of him in their hearts. Now, will you notice here, this is the first one of these rather ironical attacks that Isaiah will make against idolatry. He says, verse 19, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over the gold and casteth silver chains. And in other words, the rich here, they have a very ornate idol. They have a very rich God. But the poor fella, he has a crude idol. He that is, verse 20, so impoverished that he hath no oblation, he chooseth a tree that'll not rot. So he just whittles him out of God. And therefore, this is rather preposterous because God says, verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? These things are preposterous. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, who told you that the earth was flat? I hate to say it, but you know who first taught that the earth was flat? It was the scientists in the days of Columbus who taught it. Bible never did teach the earth is flat. The so-called scientists didn't pay attention to the word of God in that day, and they missed something. And the earth is a circle. It's so stated here. The Old Testament never did teach a flat earth. Science taught that in its day. I'm not always sure they're right today. Now, will you notice here, he moves on in this section to speak of idolatry, and I'm not going into a great deal of detail here. I want to drop down now to verse 27. You have here now, consideration is a call from God. You see, creation is really a revelation from God. Now we have this matter of consideration. It's actually a call to consider in the light of all of this. Verse 27, why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. God knows about the difficulties and problems of those that are his own. And friend, if you belong to him, he's able to quiet the storms of life for you. And somebody says, well, I'm in a storm, and he hasn't quieted it. Well, then, instead of sitting down and weeping or beginning to criticize God, why not begin to look around and find out what the lesson is he wants you to learn in the storm? God would not let you go through it unless there was a lesson there for you to learn. And then the lesson may be this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary? God never gets tired. There's no searching of his understanding. But man down here, well, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, there are 3 degrees of power here, and there have been several expositors that have likened this to the 3 stages of Christian growth that you have in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 12 and 14. There, you have the young Christian, the young man, you have the adult, and then you have the mature, or the senior citizen. Now, the young Christian shall mount up as an eagle. The adult Christian, he'll run. And the mature Christian shall walk. And that is quite interesting, by the way. And you have all 3 that are here. It's like the black preacher down in my Southland years ago preaching, by the way, a very wonderful sermon, I would say. He got up and he said, brethren, he says, this church, it needs to walk. And that one of the deacons said, amen. He says, brethren, this church needs to run. And this deacon says, hallelujah. And then he says, brethren, this church needs to fly. And this deacon, he said, amen and hallelujah. And then the minister said, but it's going to cost money to make this church fly. And then this deacon says, let her walk, brother, let her walk. And today, doesn't make any difference who you are. If you're going to walk with God today through this earth, I think this man is entirely accurate. It'll probably cost you something. But he'll furnish you strength. Whatever your condition is, you need strength to walk, he'll give it to you. If you need strength to fly, he's got that for you also. This is a wonderful chapter, a comfort, the comfort of God is our creator, is our savior, and is our sustainer. How wonderful it is. It is a fine opening for this last section of Isaiah. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're in a season when you need more of God's comfort, we've got a few digital booklets by Dr. McGee that offer some help. One in particular I'd recommend is titled The God of All Comfort. You can get it by going to ttb.org/booklets to get your copy and also browse through about 100 other titles that are available for you for free. And In addition to that, we've got messages from Dr. McGee that he mentioned today. What is this world coming to? And the X-ray of the cross, which now goes by the title, The Cross Through Jesus' Eyes. Now, these are just a few of the resources that we make available to you so that you can deepen your own study of God's Word. Why don't you visit ttb.org and spend some time looking around? Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find something that you're looking for. Now, be sure to hop aboard the Bible bus next time, because there's a lot more in this great section of Isaiah to take a look at. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible. Thank you.
listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
All our faith partners and radio listeners, we are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. Praise God. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. And the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there. Once again, we give honor, praise, and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of what we're doing is to win souls for the kingdom of God. There are many people out there in Radio Land that are listening to the broadcast. Listen, just give us a call. You have the telephone number. We thank God that you're tuning into the broadcast. But we want to make certain that you're tuning in, you love the Lord, and there are many needs that develop in our lives from day to day. I'm speaking of members of the body of Christ and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that Jesus still loves you anyway, in spite of all the difficulties and the problems that you're going through. But he's a loving God. He loves us all. And the most important thing is that he went to Calvary. He went to the cross for you and I. And can you imagine what he suffered on Calvary's cross? All the sin of the whole world, everything was laid on him. Sickness, disease, murder, prostitution, winos, drug addicts. I mean, just outright sin was laid on him. But we as believers, we really don't have a good understanding of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary's cross. But when we can think of the things that he has gone through and what he's done, we can see that the most important thing is that what was done in the past cannot be brought forth in the future. And the reason being is because when we look from the law and all the works that took place under the old covenant, we realize that we have a better covenant. And Jesus Christ is that better covenant. And our focus is in and on him. Moving forward, we see that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to live holy, godly, and righteous in this present world. But what we want to talk about today is you cannot mix law and grace together. You cannot do it. Works was under the old covenant, but grace and truth is under the new covenant. And the word of God tells us in John 1 and verse 17 that the law came by way of Moses. There are many Moses out there that are trying to keep the law. But it says that grace and truth came by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to look at this morning. We want to look at what Apostle Paul, the one that was taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, out there in Arabia, in the desert. Jesus taught him. He said he didn't learn this by from no man. God taught him this. So we want to look at what he said concerning law and grace. We're going to look at this morning in Galatians 3. Praise God. And we're going to take it slowly because I strongly believe that a lot of people are trying to keep laws even after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died. We're still trying to make laws for ourselves, and it just won't mix. It's all grace. It's the grace of God. Praise the Lord. It's the grace of God. So we want to look at Galatians 3. And Minister Glory, I want to go to the 24th verse there of Galatians. And we want to look at this thing in terms of what Apostle Paul was teaching us.
Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster.
All right. The law was our schoolmaster. It was our superintendent or schoolmaster or tutor, but it had a specific purpose because the law could not save you. The law showed you and me our sins. And God knew that we could not keep the law. But the law was holy, but we cannot keep it. So, Minister Gloria, the word says that the law was. You know, was is past tense. You know, the law was our schoolmaster.
To bring us unto Christ.
So this Jesus, glory to God, this is a purpose. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. To the Lord Jesus Christ. So why so many people are trying to keep the law when it's virtually impossible? You cannot keep the law. None of us could keep the law. The Bible tells us that if we keep the law, we have to keep the whole law. And if we offend one, we become guilty of all of them. We cannot keep the law. So the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ.
That we might be justified by faith.
Oh, glory to God. That we must be justified by faith. So the whole purpose of the law was to bring or lead us to Jesus Christ so that we could be justified by faith. That faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not in any law that I try to keep. And so many people are trying to keep a law. And when I say law, I'm not only speaking about the law of Moses, because that's under the old covenant. But what I'm talking about is we make laws for ourselves. A lot of us say, well, I got to read my Bible every day. Well, now that's a good thing to read the Bible every day. But if you miss one day for not reading, don't get bum-fuzzled. Just thank God for his grace, because we set these laws up. I got to do this, and I got to do that. Well, where is the grace? Where is grace? Well, the grace of God is the goodness of God that's given to undeserving people. And we don't deserve what we have. Therefore, we don't have anything to brag about. And many people are trying to keep this law. Well, I want to tell you, law and grace is just like oil and water. Does not mix. You either operate on one or the other. And what we know today is that we, as children of God, should be operating under grace.
Amen.
The unmerited favor of God. We have something that we don't deserve. What we really deserve is judgment. But because of the grace of God, I said because of the grace of God. So, Minister Glory, so the Lord was our schoolmaster
to bring us to Christ.
To bring us to Christ.
That we might be justified by faith.
That we might be justified by faith.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
Now that's just as simple as your nose on your face. But when faith came, we're no longer under the schoolmaster.
Amen.
Otherwise, we no longer under the law. Mm-hmm. Because the law was our schoolmaster.
Yes.
He was the one to teach us. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But I like that word, was.
Yes.
You see, was. Mm-hmm. But what is now a present reality? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and having faith in him. And he alone. Our faith must be focused in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for us on Calvary's cross.
For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Listen to what Apostle Paul is saying. All I'm doing as a minister of God is echoing what the word of God is saying to us all by his spirit. For we are all children of God, not because we go to church or go into some building, not because we carry a Bible, not because we are religious. We are all children of God by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not faith in the church in which we go to. And many people have said, well, I go to that church. I remember going to drive through and I saw this young lady there and I asked her, how was her walk with Jesus? And she said, I've been baptized. Oh, she said she hadn't been baptized. And I said, oh, well, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, well, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? So she looked at me. Meantime, the line is getting larger and larger. So I said, well, Jesus can save you right where you are. All you have to do is to repent, change your way of thinking, and ask him to come into your heart. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to have some preacher to lay their hands on you. Just ask Jesus to come into your life. And all of a sudden, Satan sends the supervisor over to find out, well, what's going on here? So I told her, I said, the young lady, I said, just believe in Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, and we moved along. What I'm trying to say to everybody that had tuned into this broadcast out there in Radio Land is that we have our own ways of setting up things and trying to get people to do what we want them to do, and that's nothing but a law, and I think it's wrong. According to Scripture, we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, grace has come for us all.
Amen.
I mean, Titus tells us, Titus 2 mm-hmm. tells us that the grace of God mm-hmm. that has appeared to all men, that's everybody, everywhere, yep. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we thank God for his grace. So as Apostle Paul continued to minister to us through the word of God, we don't separate ourselves. We believe who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And there are many people today that they say, well, I don't want to go to that church because I don't like the personality of that individual. All right. Well, you have a choice what you do. No one is trying to force you. But I want to tell you, the scriptures are clear. First of all, if you are in Christ, you have put on Christ. The scripture tells us that if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we do. We are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ourselves, not what we are doing. We are lifting up Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. It's lift up Jesus time. Praise the Lord. So if you are what the Word of God says that you are, then you should lift up Jesus.
Yes.
He was lifted up high on Calvary's cross. We lift him up in our lives by allowing people to see the whole glory to God, allowing people to see who we are in him.
Amen.
We let this light that we've asked to come in, because Jesus is the light of the world. And we ask that light to come into us so that we can allow the light to be seen through us. And minister, glory to God. That's why the Word of God tells us that we are to let our light so shine that men will see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise.
I wonder how many people are allowing that light to shine in their lives. So what happened is that Jesus is the focus of everything that we should be doing. I don't care how many titles you have or how many collars you have around your neck or how long you've gone to the cemetery. Seminary. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the focus. And what is he saying there, Ms. Lori? He says that, first of all, we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By faith in Jesus Christ.
Because a lot of people think that, oh, I'm a good person and I'm a child of God. But what does it say? We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Only that. Only by faith in him. And he alone. And I want to tell you something. Then having faith in Jesus, the Word of God says that if you have faith in Jesus, then you have put on Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. You've been baptized.
Mm-hmm. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ.
Lord Jesus. And say it again, Mr.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Lord, have mercy. If you are in Christ, if you've been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ.
Amen.
You have put on Christ. Now, I want to let you understand something here. In Romans, the 6th chapter, Minister Glory, would you go to, and the 3 through 5, this is how we put on Christ. This is how we're baptized in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we put on Christ. So, Minister Gordon, would you read from the third verse? Yes.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death.
So this is how we put on Christ. We are baptized into him.
Yes.
Which we are baptized into his death.
Yes.
And this is why it's vitally important that we understand that if we've been baptized into Jesus Christ, we have put on Christ. So therefore, we have died with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Apostle Paul was saying there in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, "For I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me."
Amen.
So, Minister Glory, in Romans 6, there, what it's talking about there,
mm-hmm.
So there's death, burial, and resurrection.
That's it.
of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so what happened is that we have to die with him, and many people trying to get into Christ through the energy of their flesh, or coming to some church building, or shaking some preacher's hand, but you can't get into Jesus Christ that way.
No.
Jesus Christ, he's God.
Yes.
And he's spiritual. There's nothing carnal about him. And if you're trying to get into Jesus, you must be baptized.
Into Christ.
Into Christ.
Not the water baptism.
Not water baptism.
But into Christ.
Into Christ. And how we are baptized into Christ is that through repentance of our sins, we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. And then right away, if it's a sincere repentance, other words, a change of mind, then the Holy Ghost will place you in the body. I said the Holy Ghost will place you in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You can't sneak in there. You can't slide in there because you come into some building. Can I get you in the body? How you get in the body of Christ is through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Because there's one spirit. And that's the spirit of the living God. Amen. I remember reading Mr. Glory that said, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You remember that?
Yes.
Praise God. But you want to finish reading in Romans 6 and...
Okay. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Yes.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father.
Yes.
Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. And that's being born again.
Amen. Praise God. And what happens there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, the scripture tells us there that for by one spirit.
Yes.
I say for by one spirit. Mm-hmm. Not two spirits, but by one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For we've all been baptized into one body.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we be Jew or Greek or male or female, for we've all been made to drink of one spirit.
Amen.
And that's the spirit of the living God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
The Holy Ghost. And that's why being in Christ eliminate racism.
Mm-hmm.
Being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ eliminate all kind of foolishness. We are all one, as Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3. Let's go back there, Minister Glory, before our time slip away from us.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that something? There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek or Gentile, bond or free, for we are all one. And when the scripture says one, that means that I don't care if I went into a church there, or you went into church that was completely white-oriented, or you went into a church which was African-American-oriented. The whole thing is that you should feel comfortable in either one of these assemblies. And the reason being is that you all one in Christ.
Amen.
So it has nothing to do with the pigmentation of your skin or perhaps your ethnicity. It all boils down to who you are, where you are, and whose you are. And if you are a child of God, you should feel comfortable. And look at what Apostle Paul is saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that we all are what?
One.
We all are one.
In Christ Jesus.
Isn't that something? Yeah. In Christ Jesus. So all this foolishness start because a lot of folks are not in Christ Jesus. They're in a building trying to present themselves as a child of God. You see, but the scriptures tells us, in other words, God's word says, praise God, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Gordon, you know something else is that if you're a new creature, that all that junk that you had and you were carrying before you were converted should have been passed away. Matter of fact, you want to read that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Yes. Praise God.
It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ.
Okay, right there. If any man or woman be in Christ.
He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Now, this is an individual or individuals that are in Christ. Now, we looked at how you get in Christ, and we look at how if you are baptized into Christ, it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're in Christ, there's no racism in Christ.
No.
There's no prejudice in Christ. What's in Christ is love,
amen,
mercy, and compassion.
Right.
And it's so important here that when we look at it, that he tells us there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female.
Amen.
Folks out here arguing about whether a woman is able to preach the gospel. I mean, that's nothing but pure ignorance of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or free, if we all one in Christ, my God, God uses who he wants to.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I have to shorten this broadcast and allow Minister Glory to just extend an invitation. If you're religious, you don't have to be. You can have a relationship by Jesus Christ.
In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart,
glory,
that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And keep in mind that if you are in Christ, we're all one. God bless you out there in Radio Land. Consider your position as a child of God. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.